Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Or good morning, depending on your time zone, and welcome to today's webinar, Let's Talk Organic. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speaker. Today, we're welcoming PJRFSI's own organic program manager, Rachel Winter, to the presentation, and I'll be introducing her to you momentarily. I'm happy to introduce Rachel Winter to all of you. Rachel just joined PJRFSI over the summer this year after starting her career in product development and quality management. She has a degree in food science and technology from The Ohio State University. And Rachel, welcome to the webinar. It's your first time on one of our webinars. We're very excited to have you.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. And I just wanted to welcome everyone to this Let's Talk Organic Crop webinar. And we're gonna start getting the slides started. So I just wanted to share with you guys some helpful resources as you guys are possibly transitioning to organic or maybe already are organic and just looking for helpful resources to make your organic program better. So we're gonna get started right now. The agenda for today, we're going to navigate the Code of Federal Regulations, what is available for resources. We're going to define a little bit about what an organic system plan is, or known as an OSP. Let's talk about the three-year rule. I'm sure many of you guys have heard about that if you're in a crop organic field. And then we're going to talk about a little bit about the next steps for organic certification and what is entailed in that. All right, so let's get down to the basics. Have you guys heard of the NOP? The NOP stands for the National Organic Program. They are responsible for rules and regulations for scopes such as crops, just processing, livestock, and other specific scopes as well. And then they are responsible for maintaining guidance documents mostly. We'll be going through quite a bit of that in these next slides. This can get confusing when you see the USDA seal on a lot of organic products. So I just wanted to touch base. What is the NOP and what is the USDA? What is the difference? So the NOP has authority from the USDA to have regulatory oversight, accredit certifying agents such as Perry Johnson, and take appropriate legal actions to enforce the organic standards and protect organic integrity. And this can be an example such as if you guys receive a non-performance or a suspension, whoever will copy the NOP USDA email and go from there. So we're going to move to the Code of Federal Regulations. This should be your go-to for any questions. The first time you're looking to go become organic certified, you need to go to this website and just make sure you're familiar with what the code says, where to find things. I strongly recommend control find, so then you can look up specific words, just crops, processing, inputs, things like that. So I really encourage you to go through the list here, and it has a title section, and you can see useful references in the title section as well. So I also really encourage the terms. The terms actually share helpful content that break down rules and regulations from the Code of Federal Regulations. So some useful definitions for you guys could be examples such as annual seed, a buffer zone, compost, crop, inert ingredient, and handling. So I highly, highly recommend, it's more than just the regulations, also the terms in the code or federal regulations. Now, this is something that as you're applying to become organic certified in crop or processing, there are actually exemptions and exclusions that I feel like is not common in other standards. So a common exemption is if you are under $5,000 in organic sales, you actually don't have to be organically certified. You do need to keep up with your organic system plan. And once you do receive that $5,000 organic sales, that's when you can really start the process of organic certification. Now, there are exclusions to this as well, such as if you're, this is required by a client, I mean, you're welcome to become organically certified, but it's really not necessary in the initial stages of organic certification or organic sales. So that can really help boost your guys's profits and get you on the right direction. A retail operation that does not do additional processing to organic products and selling the items are also exempt. A handling operation that provides 70% or less of ingredients but still complies with commingling and commingling regulations and label guidelines. And a handling operation only handles organic ingredients on the information panel, but still complies with commingling regulations and guidelines. So those are exemptions, and those are kind of a breakdown from the code, specifically 205.1 and 205.101. I kind of tried to re-summarize those to make it a little bit more clear for you guys to understand. I know those regulations can get a little bit confusing with the legal jargon, but this is why we're here to help you. And then excluded from certification, if the organic product is kept in its original packaging or not additional processing, commingling and contamination is still required. So if you guys are bringing a product in and not doing anything else but potentially relabeling, that is excluded for organic certification. If a portion of a retail food establishment that processes on the premise of the retail food establishment products that were previously labeled as 100% organic, organic, or made with organic, that's also excluded. And there's additional regulations here at the bottom that you can see to refer to. And that is it for exclusions. So now I wanted to break down the crop regulations 205.201 to 205.602 are very helpful resources from the Code of Federal Regulations. And those include organic production and handling systems, land requirements, soil fertility and crop nutrition management, practical practice standards, seed and planting stock practices, crop rotation practice standards, crop pest, weed, and disease management practice standards. So these are all within those regulations that are 201 to 602. So I really encourage you guys to look over those as you're becoming more familiar with organic regulations. And now we're going to start getting into a couple of resources that are, you might not know, are out there. I really think the NOP and USDA do a really great job at trying to provide helpful resources. It's just not necessarily always knowing that they're available. And that's what this webinar really is about. So this might not always be applicable to crop, but it might be, you might eventually go into crop processing. So I think this is a really helpful resource to determine for labels what you do and do not need to do. You guys will receive this link at the end, so then you can go back and click on this and expand back more into it. And then this is a breakdown from a guidance document, It is 5033-1. And this is primarily used on my end, but it can also be used on your guys' end as well to decide if a ingredient is synthetic or non-synthetic as you're going about trying to decide if you can use some a substance or if you cannot use a substance. And a major thing in organic, can you use synthetic substances? And yes, you can. You need to refer to the national list, which is 601 and 602, I believe, for crop and a allowed synthetic substance, which you go back to the terms definitions in that Code of Federal Regulations, and is defined as a substance that is included on the national list of synthetic substances allowed for use in organic production or handling. A non-synthetic substance, a substance that is derived from minerals, plants, or animal matter and does not undergo a synthetic process, is defined in this section. For this purpose of this part, non-synthetic is used as a synonym as natural as the term is used in the act. So if you guys need, please refer to this tree. I think it's super helpful. And then there's also a tree under 5033-2 for agricultural and non-agricultural substances, because that also is allowed. And these are also in the 601 and 602 and can be defined an agricultural input, all substances or materials used in the production or handling of organic agricultural products. The non-agricultural substances that you can use. A substance that is not a part of agricultural, such as a mineral or a bacterial culture that is used in an ingredient or ingredient product for the purpose of this part, a non-agricultural ingredient, also ingredients and substances such as gums, citric acid, or pectin that is extracted, isolated from a fraction of an agricultural product so that the identification of the agricultural product is unrecognizable in the extract, isolate, or fraction. Whew, that is a mouthful. But referring to that term and then referring to this chart can really help you define if your substance is able to be allowed in organic processing or crop production. And then here is the definitions again. I mean, this is very, very important for processing. And there is a super, super helpful document that is 5034. Highly recommend it for crop production. It goes through each of many, many inputs and defines if it's allowed or not. And it also gives you references. I highly recommend if you haven't checked it out, you really need to check this out because this is not just for it's for insecticides, pesticides, fertilizers. It gives you quite a bit of helpful resources other than just the national list. Highly recommend checking this out. We're going to talk about the USDA seal now. So the seal, if you just do a quick USDA seal and then put this on your guys's label, that's not potentially applicable. There are regulations stating, as example, what Pantone colors, and there's regulations stating that the seal needs to have four lines in the seal, for example, and specific colors even as well. So I really recommend if you guys are going to use the seal on your guys' labels that you really should check out the direct link, and the direct link will give you examples to use on your guys' labels because this will be an important piece when you get to your review process. Another helpful resource is just the National Organic Program Handbook. This is another resource that has that 5033, 5034 document, but it has other examples for fertilizers and inerts, and it really helps break down the regulations into more of a readable document. These can change, so just keep up to date with the changes. And they also add a bunch of new helpful resources as well. And this is what the NOP is here for, and not just including regulations, but it's there to be a helpful guide to organic processing and crop production. So we're now going to go into an organic system plan. And what does an organic system plan? We talked about it before. It stands for OSP. This is definitely something you guys need to familiarize yourself with, this term OSP. Do you need an OSP? Yes, you do. Except referring to the exceptions and exclusions that we talked about earlier, but you do need to keep an OSP. How do you get an OSP? So if you're going to become organically certified, we provide an organic system plan for you guys that you can fill out and keep up to date. And let's define the organic system plan again. This refers back to the terms. It is an agreement between the certifier and the applicant providing information about procedures, how procedures are monitored, lists of substances to be used in production, reviews procedures of commingling and contamination. So this document is, for us right now, it is about a 20-page document. It kind of shows you everything about what is going on in your guys' system, which we can get into that in a different webinar. And just a little bit of information. The next year after certification, you'll update your organic system plan, other documents as your operation changes. So as things change in your operation, you want to add a new crop field, then you will update that organic system plan and notify myself, the program manager. And that also can be done in the middle of the year. But it also can be done when you are completing your annual renewal. And that jumps at the bottom of the screen. How frequently are you certified organic? And that is annually. So annually you will have inspections, and annually you will have a review. And I already shared that you can update your organic system plan at any time throughout the year, as long as you notify myself. That is the organic program manager. That is very, very important. Now we're going to get into the three. What is the three-year rule? Let's talk about it. The soil must not have prohibited substances applied for 3 total years. That is 36 months. And these are some of the things that I want you guys to think about. We want to refer to 205-601, the non-synthetic substance prohibited for use in organic crops. We want to refer to that. And then we also want to refer to 205-602, which talks about the synthetic substances allowed for use in organic crop production. So 601 and 602 are that list that I was talking about earlier. There is a well-defined list from the USDA NOP that they share is what is allowed and what is not allowed. And you want to make sure that you're aware of what those say at the top of those lists, if it's allowed or not allowed. And then I also highly recommend referring to the 5034 document that I shared earlier with, and to make sure those substances are not allowed. And then the other thing I would like you guys to think about is the big three rule, which is GMOs. Are you applying something with GMOs? Are you applying something with a radiation background? And are you applying something with sewage sludge? Those are the big three that are not allowed. And you can refer to 205-105. And then you will also need an affidavit, which is a legal binding document sharing that prohibited substances have not been applied for 3 years. So 3 years, no prohibited substances, and making sure you think through all the allowed and not allowed products. I have a question for you guys now. A certified operation has had no prohibited substances applied on a field for 26 months. Harvest will not begin in 10 months. Is this acceptable? Yes, because 3 years that prohibited substances had not been applied. So 36 months. So 26 months applied and then 10 months after. And I think I might have a typo in my slide, but a total of 36 months is an acceptable time frame. Now, if it was 25 and 10, that is not acceptable. So you guys really need to make sure that you keep work with and keep that documentation. And if you just recently purchased land, then I really encourage you to reach out back to the original owner and get some documentation there that can be provided. And that will be considered an affidavit, which is a legal binding document. So we're going to continue with additional helpful resources for you guys. So I'm sure a lot of you guys are transitioning potentially and trying to become with that 3 year regulation. And they USDA NOP has additional documentation that they worked on that you might not know about. So there's an organic transition initiative here that they've put in additional resources recently to help provide additional technical guidelines. So you will be working with a certification body in your region, and they will help answer questions for you as well. So myself as the organic program manager, and for you guys to become certified, I cannot be your consultant, but this program might allow you for additional questions that you guys might have. And there will be more to come on this, so I would highly encourage you guys to keep track of this link that I'm sharing with you guys to stay up to date on the next steps and how to actually reach out and get some technical assistance. And there are references here that show you the how, what, where, why, all the details about how to transition your farm in business to organic. And if you click on each one of these, this can be helpful information for you guys. Another helpful module can be is organic for me. And there's actually two 101 and 201 documents that they provided for you to understand just the basic fundamentals of organic agriculture, but also then go through an easy step-by-step guideline for standard certification and enforcement. And they do a way better job than I do because they are trained professionals. And another helpful resource is a transitioning to organic document. It's just a PDF. So there's quite a bit of information for transitioning to organic, helpful resources for everybody out there. And then last but not least, we're going to do a let's talk about the next steps about where you're at and needing to become certified. So the steps are you apply to become certified. We will please reach out to myself or a sales guy, and we can get you an application. And then after the application, you will receive a quote. And then afterwards, you will receive a contract with us, just agreeing to terms, and then you'll pay your fees. I will send you documentation, organic system plan, and a bunch of documents to fill out and complete. Then after we receive all the documentation, we will do an organic review, which is by a technical expert, and they're reviewing everything that you shared, making sure that all the questions are complete, we understand where you're at in the organic process, making sure that those synthetic, non-synthetic, agricultural, non-agricultural ingredients are not being conducted, making sure that you guys are using the correct pest control in the correct location, many, many things. You will get an official review approval from myself, or and then you will transition to getting an inspection. You will get the inspector will reach out to schedule a date for you. And then, and Organic inspectors actually do not make the final rule for the got for your certification, such as if you're in a food safety scope. So that's something different. They're there just to write the facts about what they see is going on in the inspection. And then that will go to a final review, and that person will make review the inspection and determine the final rule if you guys are certified or not. After that, you will receive an update, and then you will receive a certification. So typically, this takes about 3 to 6 months for various reasons, whether we don't have the right documentation, whether inspectors are not available depending on the time of the year, whether your field is not able to be inspected depending on your 3-year regulation rule and such. So it does take a little bit more time, but I can guarantee you guys it is worth it. And we want to work with you and make this process seamless. So I hope I can work with you guys and answer questions and make this a smooth process. And now we're going to go to questions.
Yes, we are. Let me go ahead and pull that last slide back up really quick, Rachel. Switch that over. Awesome. All right. As Rachel said, we are going to take as many questions as everyone has for us. So feel free to type those questions in. Once again, if you missed the very beginning of the presentation, the slides from the presentation today will be available for download from the PDRFSI website, just on the screen right here. And the recording will be available on our YouTube channel, free for you to watch, to share as many times as you would like. So feel free to investigate that. I think we do have time, Rachel, if you wanted to go back to slide number 9, that link to the external website. I can go ahead and get that pulled up for you. But just really quick, I know you were just talking about inspection on that last slide there. Is there a certain time of year, does the inspection have to take place at a certain stage in the growing and harvest process to be valid?
No, as long as you guys are compliant with that 36-month, 3-year rule, we can do an inspection then and there. It just generally kind of can take longer with your reviews and then going to an inspection. So it's not just straight that three time through at any time throughout the year.
Okay, so it's not a hard and fast, like, well, if you harvest in October, you can only be in inspected in October then.
No, I mean, there are some exclusions potentially, but more than likely, no. We can work with you at any time of the year.
All right, great. So this is the CFR site that Rachel had linked in slide number 9, and again, all the resources that she linked in those slides, the links will be included in the slides that are downloadable from the PDRFSI website. So if you're curious about some of those and want to save them and bookmark them yourself, please absolutely do go to the website and download those. Any points of interest you especially want everyone to see on the screen right now, Rachel?
I would like you just to go to the table of contents page at the very top there.
All right.
This is another resource that you can do a easy control find, and it's just an easy breakdown to look over crop regulations. Highly recommend checking that out because sometimes, I mean, it can get very cumbersome as there's a very long page of regulations. So I encourage checking these out. Always referring to the Code of Federal Regulations before any other document, as you guys are aware, but then referring to the guidance documents.
All right, great. Now we have a question here about the 3-year rule. Obviously, if you've owned your property for the whole 3 years, you know what's been applied, and you can, easily create that affidavit stating as much. But in the case of someone who, as you mentioned, possibly is buying land, is there any way to verify through maybe soil testing or anything like that to see if there's any traces of something unacceptable in the soil?
Unfortunately, that is not an allowed way of doing things. So we do need the affidavit, unfortunately.
All right. Now let's see if we've got any other questions. All right. In terms of the exclusions and whatnot, is there any kind of verification that will be followed up or enforcement if, say, maybe you've mistakenly thought that you were excluded?
I have not specifically been asked that question. I can work on following up on that. I would just recommend if you guys are curious, if you guys are able or not able to become organically certified, that you just reach out and we can talk through the specifics for that. I know it can become, the code can become cumbersome. We can just work together and determine that ourselves together.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to get a personalized solution if you're actually talking one-on-one instead of in a webinar forum. So anyone who has specific questions, maybe you want to get into some great detail about your own programs and current happenings, I absolutely encourage you to reach out to the contact information on the screen. Just shoot an email. We'll direct it to the best person to give you the answer that you need, and in a timely fashion, of course. All right, let's see. Okay, here's a question. We've never had a certification of any type before. Are there any other resources for certification in general that you could recommend? I can attest that our, as I mentioned at the beginning, maybe you weren't in the webinar for that. We do have a library of several years worth at this point of recorded webinars. We really started focusing heavily on webinars when the pandemic first started happening in 2020, trying to be able to reach people virtually since we couldn't go to trade shows for quite a while. I would recommend reviewing those. I mean, we have topics, everything from, supplements through Global Gap, GFSI, everything in between. But Rachel, do you have any recommendations for just general certification? I don't know, a walkthrough or anything like that?
Yeah, I really recommend if you guys are not familiar, I really recommend working with some form of food safety-ish certificate before jumping into organic. That can be potentially helpful. Just because, for example, a GMP basic audit, it can really help you get into the habit of becoming familiar with keeping records and what documents you really need to be requesting from your suppliers. In how you should be handling your equipment or your even your seed. I really recommend looking into other certifications to help get to that next step because organic's quite cumbersome depending on your guys's facility and just really getting used to keeping records and whatnot. And in the future, we can definitely do a webinar for that. But the most important thing for any form of certification, I recommend just learning how to have an organized record keeping system and having somebody to do that. And because I know crop is not generally the farmers aren't used to doing that, but it is just crucial now in organic to become an expert in record keeping.
Yeah, definitely. And from a non-technical standpoint, I'm involved in marketing, so I've sat through all of these webinars and I know some of the basics. I would say that organic just seems so much more open-ended, so much more open to interpretation. We have these expectations of your documents, but we're not going to prescribe exactly how you handle everything. So it definitely seems a bit more overwhelming.
For sure, for sure. And those guidance documents are so helpful. So.
All right. One last question that I've seen. If anyone else has any more, please send that over to us. Or if you're maybe a little bit shy, feel free to email. We're happy to take your question here. We don't have to message you by name. But obviously, USDA organic certification, Rachel, is ubiquitous in the United States. Everyone knows the logo. Organic products are so popular, so widespread, so ubiquitous. What about internationally? Do you know of any international organic options for those who aren't US-based?
Yeah, so there's multiple countries that have their own organic systems. The if you guys are looking to import into the USDA or export, there are some regulations there about what countries are applicable For example, Mexico and Canada are applicable. The USDA just changed India for being applicable to now inapplicable to be doing import export. There's a little bit more regulation on that now. And then also countries such as the European countries are able to put the USDA seal in import export product as well. But there are other countries out there that have their own organic standard. So if you guys are in those countries, I'd really encourage you to look that up and then also keep up to date with who is applicable for import export into the United States for that USDA seal.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. We really do appreciate having you on. You know, congratulations on your first webinar with us. I'd absolutely
love
to have you back on again for maybe a more in-depth on a specific topic. But to everyone who attended, thank you so much for your time and attendance. Look for those slides and the recording on our website and our YouTube channel within the next couple of days. I will be sure to have those up for you all. And as I said before, if you have any, you know, lingering questions, please just feel free to give us a call or shoot us an email. We will get you the answers you need as quickly as we can. And we hope to see you on our next webinar. So Rachel, any parting words of wisdom before we sign off for the day?
No, but I appreciate everyone who attended and good luck, and reach out if you have any questions.
All right. I'll wish everyone a great rest of their day and a good and happy rest of their week. Welcome to fall, finally, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Enjoy the weather. So stay safe and stay healthy out there. We'll see you all in the next webinar.